So just to start us off, for some people at home that may not be familiar with them, what are diprotodons?
Well, diprotodons were giant marsupials that lived in the last series of ice ages. And when I say giant, I'm talking massive.
Yeah,
marsupials today, you know, the biggest species are things like red kangaroos, and even the biggest male red kangaroos get up to about 80 or 90 kilograms.
Oh my God. In terms
of body weight for these diprotodons, they got up to about 3,000 kilograms. So absolutely monstrous animals.
Wow, big boys. Oh, my God, 3,000. Yeah. That's nuts. Yeah,
just absolutely huge. I mean, 1.8 metres at the shoulder. A lot of people compare them to wombats. They're not wombats at all, but they were just massive, four-legged, you know, plant-eating machines of that ice age period.
Yeah, I read they ate about up to, I think it was 100 to 150 kilograms of vegetation daily.
Hard to know exactly how much they ate, but they were certainly impressive herbivores. They're what we call keystone species as well. So they're such a big animal, they would have had a huge amount of food intake, and as a keystone species, they would have had the ability to really change the local vegetation and the environment around the place.
Yeah,
when they were alive, so they would have had a big impact on a whole range of different species that used to live locally.
Wow, that's awesome. So what did your study of the diprotodon tooth uncover about the ancient beast?
Yeah, well, what we wanted to know was just more about the life and times of the diprotodon itself. I mean, we know that it's a big animal. It had a really broad distribution across Australia. And we've got dates for it, so we know that when it lived. We don't know exactly when it went extinct. But we just want to know more about its biology and its ecology. So what we did, we applied a whole bunch of different geochemical tests to the front incisor tooth, so the big front chomper on a particular individual diprotodon from the Darling Downs area of southeast Queensland. Mm-hmm. And that information told us a whole bunch of different things about what it ate. And really amazingly to us was that it was a seasonally migrating marsupial. So it was moving somewhere, great distances, maybe moving something like 200 kilometres per year, tracking its food sources and then coming back. So, yeah, really interesting finding. And that's something really unique amongst marsupials too. I mean, no marsupial practices that type of migration today.
Yeah, so there's been no evidence of any other marsupials being migratory species.
Not like that. They're, again, going back to things like red kangaroos, sometimes they undertake what we call a nomadic migration. So you might have like a big male red decide one day just to leave its home range. So it might travel some distance, but it doesn't really have a plan for what it's doing, and it's got no plan to actually go back.
Mm.
So what we're talking about here with this kind of seasonal two-way migration is something that might be more familiar to your listeners, thinking things like the East African situation, like on the Serengeti. So, you know, if you've ever seen like a David Attenborough documentary, I should say, when he talks about the wildebeest and the zebra migrating across the vast plains, that's kind of what we envisage now was going on in eastern Australia, but around about 300,000 years ago.
Yeah. So how has a single tooth from approximately 300,000 years ago managed to tell us so much about this creature?
Yeah, well, the tooth is excellent in itself because teeth basically record what you eat and for things like that, migrating herbivorous species about where they actually travel. So at this stage, we've only got one tooth and we've invested like a lot of money into the sample, so around about $20,000 worth of analysis.
Wow.
But we would need to test it further. We need to know what diprotodons were doing all the way across the continent itself.
Mm.
We need to know what other species were also migrating at the same time. But, you know, we know a lot of other things about the diprotodons too. Like, for example, they moved around in herds or mobs, if you want to think about it like that.
Mm.
So these mobs were, you know, in the order of maybe 20 or 30 individuals. So although we've only been able to sample one particular tooth so far, it's very likely that this particular animal was moving around in a fairly large population at the same time.
So there's more likely to be more bones in one place.
Yeah. I mean, we there are bones, you know, all around the country, and it's just a matter of applying these techniques to those specimens now.
Yeah, of course.
It's not easy work at all. It's been a really long-term project. We've been working on it, kind of conceived it around about 10 years ago or so. And so it's not easy kind of science to do, but I think it's really just so important because it's starting to reveal how complex these ice age environments were.
Yeah.
You know, I guess this key thing about that too is that, you know, we're not talking about dinosaurs or anything like that that lived, you know, millions and millions of years ago. Animals like that diprotodonts live in exactly the same geological time period that we live in today. So that's a time period called the Quaternary.
Yeah.
And it's also the time that we saw the evolution of the first, all the plants that we have around us today, all of the other animals that we have, the same sort of climate. Diprotodonts also overlapped in time. It's the very first human in Australia, as well, so the first indigenous people that came in around 65,000 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's just, it would have been a fascinating area, but we've had so much to learn about this period in time. And you know, there's going to be a lot of lessons, I guess, understanding how we've got to be where we are today in terms of the ecology of modern Australia.
Mm-hmm. If you've just tuned into The Daily, we're chatting to Dr. Gilbert Price from the University of Queensland to have a chat about the giant diprotodon, the largest marsupial to have ever lived, and his new findings on this creature in a recent study. So the analysis of this is astounding and probably wouldn't have been possible without the technology we have today. How do you think our knowledge of these ancient animals will grow alongside our rising technological abilities?
It's going to grow immensely. I mean, we have the most wonderful tools available to us at the moment, and we use these machines called mass spectrometers, and they're not cheap by any means. I mean, we've just had a new one installed at the University of Queensland that cost, I don't know, maybe $500,000 or maybe $700,000 or something like that. So it's the type of machine that does more than just figure out what the diet where these extinct animals. We can save a whole bunch of things, and from corals to cave decorations like coelacanth, you know, stalagmites, type thing.
Mm.
So there's so much that we can learn, and it's just a matter of coming up with ideas and hopefully securing future research funds to be able to apply the techniques and the tools that we've got to the fossils that we already have that might be sitting in your local museums, for example. So there's so much we can learn with the technology and the techniques that's got at the moment.
Mm-mm. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Gilbert.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, hope you have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.